This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hey guys, it's Brittany Payton, and thanks for checking out another episode of The Sweet Life right here on the BetRivers Network. I want to welcome everyone who's joining us today. I want to welcome in Gunnar Esiason. Now, you may have heard the name. Something sounds familiar. Well, he happens to be the son of former NFL great legend Boomer Esiason, who is also an NFL analyst. We watch him every Sunday, that's for sure. But a lot of your father's journey in the NFL was kind of mirrored alongside your journey, Gunnar, because you have been battling a deadly disease pretty much since you were born. So tell us a little bit about cystic fibrosis. For those that just have heard the name, they don't know what it is. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks, Brittany. Really appreciate you having me on the show. It's right. I've been living with cystic fibrosis since I was born. I was diagnosed with the condition in 1993. And at its core, cystic fibrosis is a protein dysfunction disease caused by two gene mutations that lead my body to produce excess mucus in a number of organs. You know, classically, people think of cystic fibrosis as a respiratory condition, and that's really what it is, right? It constricts my ability to breathe normally over the course of my lifetime. And when I was diagnosed in 1993, my dad was in the peak of his NFL career, was just traded to the New York Jets, and had just started summer minicamp when, as the story goes, someone from the administration came running across the football field to grab him and tell him that he needed to fly back to Cincinnati where the family was living at the time, as he had just been traded. So it's been a long run, but the truth is that cystic fibrosis today is not the condition that it is that I was diagnosed with. It's because I consider it to be one of the most remarkable stories in medicine. And I think we'll get into that a little bit today and where we are, but I do appreciate you having me on.
No, I do. I have two people in my life who I know. One friend who used to be a former producer of mine, who had battled and suffered from cystic fibrosis, same as you, was diagnosed as a child. And I've been able to learn a little bit, but I feel like there's so much more. And one thing I thought about her was just how remarkable the daily struggles and things that you have to go through that normal people just take for granted. The just breathing in air and being able to breathe in without coughing, or, you know, the things that we just do every day. So tell us a little bit about what is life like for someone who's dealing with cystic fibrosis. We'll get into some of the treatments and things, but what is just daily life like, and how does that impact your normal routine?
Yeah, you know, so I call cystic fibrosis care active and arduous, meaning it's just all encompassing. When I was a child and as I was growing through college and, you know, sort of in the earliest parts of my career, my treatment routine every day could take anywhere from an hour and a half to 3 hours a day. And on good days, right? And that meant everything from, inhaled steroids to open up my airways and mucolytics, or drugs that effectively thin out my mucus so I could cough it up. And then the real dangerous part of cystic fibrosis is that the mucus that lives in our lungs actually traps harmful bacteria. And that's what makes us quote unquote sick, right? So that harmful bacteria is something that we have to treat then with antibiotics. And perhaps the greatest curse of CF is that those bacteria, as they get exposed to antibiotics over our lifetimes, becomes harder and harder and harder to treat. CF as a condition has largely changed simply because our community as a cohesive unit, from parents and patients to researchers, physicians, and of course the pharmaceutical industry, have come together to deliver life-changing drugs that have enhanced the live prognosis of cystic fibrosis to the point where we're actually now able to modulate the disease and the protein dysfunction at the heart of cystic fibrosis.
Yeah. So you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I was reading a little bit about you, and I was reading a story that before some of these treatments were in place, there was a point where you kind of were really at your kind of lowest point. Right. And life ahead was looking a lot different. And there was a interaction that you had with your mother that I think really, it struck to me. I don't know, maybe just because I'm a mom and I can only imagine one of my kids being sick. But can you tell us a little bit about that moment? Because it was something that really just struck at my heart and something that she said to you that really kind of started the change in trajectory.
Yeah, you know, I very much had a fairly typical life course with CF, right? As a child and sort of growing up, I had my ups and downs, right? I was able to play sports. My parents put me in flag football. I played ice hockey growing up. I played lacrosse. I was a terrible lacrosse player, but I still played. by the time I got to college though, my health really started to decline, and it was really because of one sort of, you know, health event right after the next. When I was a freshman in college, I actually had to take something of a medical leave towards the end of the year and just sort of finish my first year in college in absentia. In my second year of college, I dealt with pancreatitis, which is sort of a lesser known a complication of CF. So by the time that I graduated, I was very much looking at the end of my college career as something like a finish line, right? I was like, oh my God, I just have to get out of here. My health is not in a good place. And the truth is that when I was about to finish school, I had my goal and my eyes set on going to law school. And looking back, I have no idea why I wanted to be a lawyer. And my wife today loves to joke that, you know, my dream was to be a litigator. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's how the story goes. But what happened to me was that I actually had to move back home with my parents after school. I was so sick that I couldn't actually start a career. I couldn't get anything going. And it was hard, right? I was 22 years old, and all of my friends from college and high school were going off and starting careers of their own. And they were able to, you know, live in, you know, New York City, Chicago, Boston, you know, pick your city, and sort of, you know, begin their own sort of lives. And I was, you know, living like I was in high school again, right? I was in my childhood bedroom, and I was dealing with declining health that sort of just felt like it was never going to stop. And it got to the point where, you know, the bacterial infection that was living inside my lungs just became so difficult to treat that my physician at the time actually, you know, she said, Gunnar, you know, we're running out of options here, right? You have to start preparing for living in this new normal where you're going to be in and out of the hospital or in and out of an operating room every several weeks, if not more frequently. Wow. And when I heard that, I was not prepared to hear it at all. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I had lived my entire life sort of geared up and focused on, you know, my future, right. I invested in myself through education, through school and, you know, my social networks and things like that. But, you know, it hit sort of that one conversation with my provider basically just changed everything. A high school football coach of all things. And it was sort of my part-time career that just had me on my feet, had me out of the house, but you know, there was really no upward mobility in that career whatsoever. It was just something that, you know, my former athletic director knew that I was struggling and he wanted to give me something to do. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity because I think it, you know, played a huge role in what I was at the time. Yeah. And on the way to school, on the way to the school one day to practice one day, I got in my car and I like just completely like shut down. Like I was confronted with, you know, the reality of what my physician had just told me, where my health was. I was just so stressed from, you know, living in that sort of cycle of illness that like I couldn't start the car. Like I just was at my breaking point. My mom saw me through our kitchen window. And I think my mom is around here somewhere. So it's kind of a funny story to tell again in front of her, but, and you know, she saw me through the window and like, you know, first thing she just ran outside and gave me a big hug. Right. You know, she knew what I was going through. She knew everything that I was dealing with. And, you know, at the core of it, she really was my frontline caretaker more than anything else. Like she was the first line responder for my bad health. And, you know, I think it was a turning point because it reinvigorated me to look forward to what was coming down the cystic fibrosis pipeline. And that's when I was first sort of introduced into the world of clinical research and clinical trials, which just sort of turned me around eventually.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, and then as moms, you know, it is, like you said, they're the ones that are there. They're taking care of us. So I know your mom's there in the background somewhere. So thanks, Mom, everything that you do and have done. But that kind of walks us into this next phase. So, you know, life really took another turn in 2018 for you when you did take part in this phase three trial. So tell us about this study, because this is something, and the research that was done has really been life-changing for you, and I'm sure so many other people out there as well.
Yeah, you know, so from that point in time, it was like 2013 when I was dealing with all those issues sort of at my peak. You know, I was able to abate my decline over the next several years, but even so, I was still living with very severe disease, right? Between the years of 2013 and 2018, when I finally got into this pivotal clinical trial, you know, I underwent more than 24 hospitalizations and spent more than a cumulative year on IV medications, which, you know, I kind of like grazed through that statement, but it's hard to really conceptualize what that is like for a person to go through. And mind you, I was not the only one dealing with this kind of cystic fibrosis at the time, right? It was a pretty standard thing for people with CF who have severe disease. And it was hard, right? It was, you know, every single time I was either in the hospital or in an operating room was a major disruption in my life.
Yeah.
You know, to the point
kind of stops you from having a lot. I mean, your entire life is really just trying to keep yourself healthy enough to be alive. But again, the things that we all take for granted doing every day are things that really were taken from you in that time.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think to sort of, you know, paint a picture of it, you know, there were mornings when, you know, getting from the bedroom to the bathroom to brush my teeth was like a real struggle. Right. So that's how ugly it was at one point. And, that all changed in April of 2018, when I enrolled into a phase three clinical trial program for, a medication that effectively allows the protein at the heart of CF that doesn't work to work more effectively. In 2018, when I was, enrolled into this clinical trial program, there was a 50-50 shot that I was going to be given the placebo or the active study drug. And within 12 hours of dosing on like day zero of the study, I knew that I had the active study drug. I mean, it was like a remarkable change. So it was as if someone had clipped a parachute off. And I was, you know, if I was running a race and I had a parachute on my entire life, and suddenly that parachute just got ripped right off. That's kind of what it felt like. And the way we saw that the drug was actually working was my dad and I, of all things, we love playing men's league ice hockey together, like adult recreational like ice hockey. And it's funny to think of my dad playing hockey, but that's what he loves. And it's what
that's
I love
thing.
Too.
Yeah.
And about 7 or 8 days after starting on that drug trial, we had a men's league game, and there we were out on the ice, and instead of coughing up a storm and being short of breath and not being able to participate, it was like all of a sudden I was like an Olympian, you know? So, you know, my teammates were like shocked to see how well I was performing. My dad was shocked to see how well I was performing. And most importantly, I shocked myself, because I had thought that those days were long behind me because of my declining health. But it's really the truth of the matter is that that medication, which went on to be called to be approved and called Trikafta, has changed the cystic fibrosis community immensely, more than we ever could have imagined, seemingly overnight.
Wow. It's just unbelievable. I mean, the fact that your reaction to this drug was so instant, the fact that even just within a day, you could feel the difference, that you were breathing different, and just how I'm sure this has just changed so many people's lives. Because before that, what would you say was maybe like the average life expectancy for someone with cystic fibrosis before a drug like this could be introduced to help them?
Yeah. You know, it's basically that the stat that I used to hang my hat on was that the median age of death, right? Meaning the halfway point of age of all people who die from CF in a given year was about 30, 31, 32 years old, right? So that means you have people on both sides of that age. But what it really also showed is that people with CF were dying far too young. Yeah. I'm now 31, right? And I've been on this drug now for 4 years. So I'm, you know, I feel like I'm on the health rocket ship going up. Yeah. When, you know, had this drug not been around, I would have been certainly going the other way, if not heading towards, you know, lung transplantation, which is sort of like the last ditch option for people with CF. So it's a medication that has, you know, changed our lives remarkably. And And sort of a way to show what that might look like is about 4 or 5 months after I enrolled into that clinical trial, my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, and I were on a vacation. We decided to do a road trip. But on the way home from that trip, we were stuck in traffic on the New Jersey Turnpike. And she turned and looked at me and she said, well, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And it was like a question that I had never considered, right? I was, you know, 27 years old and I had, you know, been living with CF all those 27 years and my disease got worse and worse and worse. And then suddenly it didn't go away, but it's remarkably better than it once was. Mm-hmm. And I was confronted with the choice of like, well, now I actually have a future to look forward to. You know, how do I take hold of that? What do I do? And it was, you know, it was an open-ended question that she posed to me. And it was a hard question because I had been wanting my entire life, you know, for something of a disease modifier or something that would just, you know, make my symptoms go away. But I had never prepared myself for what that would actually look like. And it's what led me down the path to grad school, where we've now been married, we have a baby.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. So, you know, what this medication has done for me and for others with cystic fibrosis is almost immeasurable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like you said, that the fact that now that question of what am I going to do for the rest of my life, you know, posed and opened up a whole new pathway of options, you know, and roads that you could go down. And just how this drug has really changed life for so many people. It's really amazing. And I'm sure it takes a lot to get to that point, right? For a drug like that to come around, tons of studies, money that has to be poured into that. So there's a lot of ways to support research or you name it. And a lot of that has been around the Boomer Esiason Foundation. I mean, I know your dad, which is really cool for me to think, because I've got my dad sitting, you know, looking down over me over my shoulder, but that your dad actually won the Man of the Year award back in 1995. And a lot of it was because of the work that he was doing really in honor of you. So can you tell us about the Boomer Esiason Foundation, what you guys continue to do? And I know you are such a big part of that and really running that organization and the work that's continuing to go on to help people.
Yeah. You know, it's actually, it's a great story because my dad was actually involved in cystic fibrosis fundraising before I was even born. So when my dad won the NFL MVP after the 88-89 season, the year that the Bengals went to the Super Bowl, you know, he, like most MVPs and most sort of, you know, NFL dignitaries of their time, you know, were paraded around like the, you know, the gala tour. You know, they were like America's guest, right? And my dad was at one specific gala where the keynote speaker was a man by the name of Frank DeFord. And Frank DeFord was a very famous sports writer, you know, of the time. And he told a story about his daughter, Alex, who died from cystic fibrosis very young in her life back in the 70s. And that story really touched my dad deeply and my mom too. To the point where my dad approached Frank DeFord after dinner and said, well, how can we help? And Frank told my dad, well, go be a face for cystic fibrosis in Cincinnati, go visit patients in the hospital, raise some money, do whatever you can. And my dad took that opportunity and ran with it. Then lo and behold, of course, I was diagnosed with CF in 1993. So my parents were very well aware of what cystic fibrosis was and what it was doing to people. So after I was diagnosed, my dad's first phone call was to his dad, my grandfather. And then his second phone call was to Frank DeFord. And he said, Frank, you know, you're never going to believe this, but Gunnar has cystic fibrosis. And Frank said something to the effect of, you know, now we have an opportunity to really change the world and put a face on this disease. And my dad took that advice and ran with it. And to date, the foundation has raised over $160 million in the fight against cystic fibrosis. And the credit's not all ours, right? We've worked very much in parallel with the National Cystic Fibrosis Foundation and cystic fibrosis organizations across the globe to advance research and development, but also, you know, help bring medications across the finish line. And, you know, our organization has, of course, contributed to, you know, the therapeutics development capital campaigns that the National CF Foundation has hosted. But we also provide direct aid to patients too, patients and families, because living with chronic illness it's an expensive endeavor. It's just the way it is. Yeah. And we try to alleviate those financial burdens however we can. You know, namely, we do it through college scholarships. We do it through direct financial assistance for folks who are going through transplantation at the end of their disease. We also have been supporting cystic fibrosis clinics and of course, basic biomedical researchers too.
It's amazing. I've got chills and goosebumps because, you know, I didn't realize too that this was a cause that really was put on your father, again, like you said, before you were even around. And then for it to fall into this category where then his own son would be someone who would suffer from this disease that he's already out there helping to promote and learning about. It's just kind of unbelievable. I believe everything happens for a reason in a full circle. But when you look back in that question that you had to ask yourself of what you were going to do with the rest of your life, this is what you're doing. You are helping to change the lives of so many people and making a difference every day. And that's a pretty amazing thing. It really is. So congrats to you and the work that you guys are doing, because it is. I mean, I know with charities and things that we've been involved in, and but helping to, like you said, whether it's help that burden on families who are having to shell out money to just help take care of these patients every day. If it's getting more information out there, if it's helping to fund some more trials or studies so more medications like the one that has helped you can come out there. But the work that's being done is you're really seeing how it is changing lives every day. And you guys were a big part of that. So it's really amazing to hear. So hats off to you guys as well for the work that you're doing.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. We certainly recognize the responsibility that comes with, you know, something of my dad's celebrity. And, you know, I think he took that on, you know, full force when the opportunity presented itself. And we certainly recognize that we still have a bullhorn on behalf of our patient communities. And, you know, that's really now translated into direct advocacy to make sure that, you know, policymakers in Washington and around the world are, you know, really caring about the issues that, you know, present for people living with rare diseases like cystic fibrosis, not only CF. So, you know, we try to use our bullhorn as best we can and as effectively as we can for people living with all sorts of rare diseases. And, you know, I will say it's been a community effort, right? You know, we're not the only family that's been dealing with CF, nor are we the only family that fundraises for CF. You know, one of the most wonderful things about this community is that every single patient and family is involved in really trying to drive change forward for the community at large.
Yeah. What are some ways too that people who are watching this, who see this and they may want to get involved or they want to learn more, where can they go? What are some things that they can take part in to help?
Yeah, well, I can promote my website, GunnarAsiasen.com, where I blog about my life with CF. But, you know, our family's foundation is at Asiasen.org. And you can see, you know, how we provide opportunities for people to get involved, whether it's through Team Boomer, which is our athletic arm of the foundation, where people can run marathons or, you know, name your sort of endurance event that people love doing. I don't love doing them, but
some what your event? Are you still sticking to hockey? If that was it, would it be hockey? But yeah, running a marathon is not on the list, I'm guessing.
But it is some people. Yeah. But it's for some people. Not me. But yeah, so I think, you know, that's one way people can get involved. And of course, you know, we have events all across the country where we're either raising money or awareness, where people can just, you know, drop in and say hi on Twitter or wherever. And, you know, that's where we sort of get people on board our team.
I got to ask a sports question, though, before we go. Last question. This may be an easy one for you.
Okay.
But who is your NFL team? Are you a Bengals fan or are you a Jets fan?
I am neither, and this one might disappoint you, but I'm a Packers fan, actually.
Oh my gosh!
I know. I'm so sorry. I'll tell you the quick reason.
Explain this to me. How did this happen?
So you can imagine, like, my dad was moving around to all these different teams when I was a little kid, right? We were in Cincinnati, then we were in New York, then we were in Arizona, then we were back to Cincinnati. And after my dad, you know, happened to leave these teams, the teams just like went down. They just weren't very good. So at the time, though, I also thought the G on the Packers helmet stood for Gunner. So I thought it was my team. And then, of course, I bought a share. So it really is my team. And I fell in love with Brett Favre when I was a little kid, you know, right when my dad retired, the Packers won the Super Bowl led by Brett Favre. And as a little kid, it's impossible not to love Brett Favre, although I imagine people from Chicago had very different feelings about him.
Yes, but I will say I give it to him. I do love Brett, and he is a wonderful guy. And so you can't help but, you know, him, his family, his mother, I have fond feelings for them. Yes. But as a Bears fan, you know, it's just really hard. It's difficult.
I for sure get it. But yeah, I am a Green Bay Packers fan, and I will hold that true to my heart till the day I die.
All right, Gunner. I'm going to remember this one. I'm going to remember it. Every day I'm watching my team play them, and yeah, but this year's going to be different. I know as Bears fans, we say that all the time, but we have to be optimistic. So this year is going to be different. But thank you again, really, for taking the time. It was such a pleasure to finally get to talk to you, meet you in person, and hear some more about your amazing story. But yes, our best to you, your wife, your little boy, and keep up all the good work, and say hello to the family for us. Like I said, yes, I know mom's back there somewhere, so tell her we say hi.
I will. Thank you so much for having me on, Brittany.
A big thank you to Gunnar Esiason for taking the time to talk with us and share his story. To learn more about Gunnar and his mission to fight cystic fibrosis, go to GunnarEsiason.com. Also, make sure to check out the Bet Rivers Network for great content updated daily and for upcoming episodes of The Sweet Life.